If Candlemas be fair and bright, winter has another bite. If Candlemas brings clouds and rain, winter will not come again.
And that tells you immediately how the structure was laid for Groundhog Day.
Exactly.
And the groundhog's predictions.
Exactly. In the British Isles as well as in continental Europe, many of the different languages and cultures had little ditties on Candlemas. Ring around the rosy sort of song for the children to sing that has all of the background of Groundhog Day right in its heart. Long before there was Groundhog Day, Christians in Europe would simply, on the Feast of Candlemas, look to see if there was sun. And if there was sun, they would say, well, we're probably going to have six more weeks of winter. If it was foggy and rainy and cold and snowy on the Feast of Candlemas, then, you know, they'd say, well, okay, winter has now done its worst, and we can expect in the next few days that winter will begin to let go of its grip. It is the last day of the nativity cycle, which started shortly after Thanksgiving in Advent, and that comes to its conclusion 40 days after the birth of Jesus on February the 2nd, 40 days in the Western calendar.
Like any other church observance in the liturgical calendar, Candlemas is based upon something from Scripture.
Absolutely. The biblical story here, of course, which is why we observe the 40 days, is what was originally the purification of St. Mary 40 days after the birth of Jesus. And it was at that time also that the child who had been born is in some sense offered to God. Then, of course, the child being offered here is no less than Jesus, Mary and Joseph offering him to God for a life of service.
Music is always a big part of any observance in the church, and I'm sure Candlemas is no different. I'm sure that music of Christmas would not be out of place.
Oh, no, not at all. Matter of fact, I suspect that some of our parishes who will keep the Feast of Candlemas will, in fact, sing hymns that many would associate perhaps more clearly with Christmas. Of course, many of the Christmas hymns refer to Jesus, the light of the world, or the light in the darkness, so I think it would not be at all unusual.
In this country, of course, mention the date February 2nd to anyone, they're going to talk about a rodent or two. How did, in the United States, we move from the presentation of Christ in the temple, Candlemas, to Groundhog Day?
Well, I'm not so sure we moved quite as directly from the presentation of the temple. You know, for example, in the British Isles for many centuries, quite apart from the help of any groundhog or anything else, there was the sense that you paid attention to the weather at this midpoint of the winter, and that gave you some indication of what the rest of the winter was going to be like. February 2nd is exactly halfway between the winter solstice and the spring equinox.
So it is midwinter.
It is midwinter, and this is when the calendar and the days begin to turn. We do know over in Germany in the Middle Ages, for example, they would have hedgehogs and other kinds of... And of course, you see, it has to be an animal that hibernates. This is why you can't have, you know, a dog or a cat or a horse or a cow or something to be the sort of sign of the divination of the winter's weather. You've got to have a hibernating animal that has been asleep and then sort of stirs on this day, wakes up and sticks his nose out into the world and takes some sense of whether he can sleep for six more weeks or whether he's really sort of got to be about his business. And, of course, when the colonists came to the U.S., of course, a lot of the colonists in Pennsylvania, where Punxsutawney Phil is, were Germans. And back in Germany, there were hedgehogs. That was the animal that would come out of hiding and would do this little ceremony for them. And, of course, there are not a lot of hedgehogs in Pennsylvania.
So they had to improvise.
And so this Candlemas thing, some would say that it probably has some pagan roots because the folks were very, very sensitive to light and darkness.
There is a great tradition involving candles where people of the church will bring their candles in for blessing.
That's right. That's one of those things that I don't think we can so easily understand how important that might have been, because we can just flick a switch and take care of the darkness and turn on the heat and all those kinds of things. And so I think we could easily underestimate how powerful taking your candles that were going to adorn your home, adorn your mantle, adorn your table, perhaps be the lamp by your bedside, that would be enormously important to people before this Thomas Edison sort of age.
Mm-hmm.
These were marking time in very specific ways. The heat of the summer, the cold of the winter, the long days and the short days. And of course then, Candlemas then becomes kind of a turning point, with half of the winter behind, half of the winter essentially still to go, and then we had to worry about the severity of it.
Bishop Alexander, thank you so much for having us in a blessed Candlemas and an early spring.
Thank you, John. Let's hope that it's a bright and clear day in as many places as we can imagine, so winter will be past and we'll be on to spring and moving toward Easter.